What time do you want? It's good to be in church. So we'll go 1:45. All right. It's great to be in church, yeah? Yeah, I'm just trying to get my thoughts. Hang on. At the moment, we're in a series called God Still Speaks. And this morning, actually, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the prophetic. So Jared spoke the last 2 weeks about the prophetic and about the impact it has in our lives and in our church and as our lives as individuals. And I encourage you to go listen to those. It's such a big topic. It's hard to squeeze into 3 weeks. And this morning, I'm like literally going to share a tiny part of what the prophetic means. First of all, I just want to say that how many know that God actually loves to crash in on our understanding of things? How many know that God actually he actually doesn't mind us being offended? I've actually noticed this. I actually read it in the Bible. I actually think that sometimes the Lord enjoys us when sometimes the offense actually reveals something in our heart. And those of you who know, we went over to America a year ago. We came back a year ago. We went over 2 years ago. We were there for 12 months in a church called Bethel. And when we arrived there, I was offended on every side. And when we talk about the prophetic, when we talk about words of knowledge, when we talk about the supernatural nature of things, oftentimes it offends our way of thinking. And I was in an environment that I couldn't get out of. We had no money to come home. And I wasn't going to sit at home for a year. But we were in an environment where the Lord allowed offense to happen. And I was in an experience. I love what you guys shared this morning, just about the wholeness and God healing the whole body. And I've got a story exactly about that. But one of my first experiences was I got to become quite good friends with a guy by the name of Chuck. And I actually ended up going on a missions trip with him. But he also was running a thing called healing rooms. And people would come in and get prayer for healing. And one day, this business lady came into healing rooms. She was obviously sick with some health concerns. And she came in and she was all suited up. She had a suit on. She had everything perfect. She had her hair perfect. Just everything was perfect. And she came in and she had even typed out all her health conditions with a beautiful font on a beautiful piece of paper. And she had that in her pocket. And here she came. She waited patiently in line. And she came up. And Chuck was the person who was praying for her that day. And she presented the piece of paper. And he said, "Yep, okay, let's pray." And he said, "Oh, hang on. Before we pray, could you just stand into the lift, please?" She's like, "Excuse me?" And this prayer room has just got carpet. And he says, "No, would you like to stand into the lift?" And she's looking at him like, "What are you thinking? I've got a double degree in theology. I've traveled around from the other side of the world to come here to get prayer for my health concerns, and you're talking about an imaginary lift." And she just looked at him like, "This is not happening." And he said, "No, the Lord told me to tell you, would you stand into the lift?" And so after a few minutes, she's obviously, this stuff is going around in her head. She often comes to the point and she just thinks, to amuse the guy, I'm just going to take a step forward. So she simply just takes a step forward. She pulls a piece of paper out of her pocket and gives him the list and said, "This is what I want prayer for." And the first thing on the list was written, blood pressure. And he looked at it. He didn't read anything else. He gave the list back and he said, "Well, do you want it to go up or down?" And by this, she was highly offended. She looked at him and said, "You know, you can just imagine the frustration. She's already in this imaginary lift. Now he's asking." Of course, everybody knows that people have got high blood pressure. Of course, you want it to come down. And so he just said, "Well, what do you want? Do you want it to go up or down?" And so she finally said, "Down." And he said, "Well, push the down button in the elevator." And you can just understand that this is a person who's highly educated, who's come from around the world to get healing, and here some guy is laughing, telling her to push a button in an imaginary elevator. She then says to him, well, can I talk to the person who runs the healing rooms? He bursts out laughing and just starts laughing and loses it and says, well, you're looking at him. And so after all this, she finally puts her finger in the midair and pushes a button. And the next thing happened was she collapsed on the ground and something was going on. She's rolling around on the ground. He disappears. We come back later. She gets off the ground. She's totally healed from everything on the list. Her hair's all out of place. Her shirt's all like crinkled and misbuttoned, but yet she walks out of there 100% healed. Not just healed from the physical things, actually whole. You're talking about wholeness. And this is how God works. He comes and he actually enjoys offending the way we think. How many are glad that God is actually bigger than your head? When we come to these topics of prophetic ministry, when we come to prophetic words, to words of knowledge, to supernatural things from God, oftentimes we look and criticize because something is done different to the way that we would do it. This was my approach, and so I devalued the prophetic. I said, well, that person wouldn't say it the way I would, so that can't be God. Well, that can't be God because that's weird. I heard somebody say a while ago that, oh, a good test to know if it's the voice of God is that it makes logical sense. And I read through the Bible and I'm still trying to find a word of God that makes logical sense. I just can't find it. But the point is that God often speaks. He often does things that actually are outside us, especially our comfort zones. In the past, growing up in church, I viewed the prophetic as something that happened on a Sunday for a few minutes while someone was holding a microphone. I love, Jared spoke about this last week, the importance of the prophetic in the corporate setting, and I love that. I agree that. I love we had prophetic this morning, and I believe it's a crucial part of our church, of our corporate gatherings. But it isn't meant to be the pinnacle. The prophetic is actually meant to be a lifestyle. It's actually meant to be an overflow of something else, not just the pinnacle of somebody getting up and saying, this is the word of the Lord, although that's important in a corporate setting. But it's meant to be a lifestyle. It's actually meant to be the way we think. It's actually meant to be the way we see things. It's actually meant to be the way we communicate with people. It's giving a God word in a particular situation. It all comes from this place of intimacy with the Father. Has that clock stopped, has it? Oh, no. The prophetic doesn't have to be wrapped in religious jargon. It doesn't have to start and end with, thus saith the Lord. It is purely what God is saying and us just repeating it. I love that Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. This is the essence of a prophetic lifestyle. Is it was never meant to be reserved for Sunday. It was actually meant to be something that we live and something that is in every part of our life. There's two types of prophetic that I want to talk about this morning. Two types of prophecy. The first one is foretelling. Foretelling is simply what we would expect when we hear about prophetic thing. It is literally about telling the future. The Holy Spirit gives someone the gift of prophecy, and they look into the future and say what God has shown them, and that is purely foretelling. It's the gift of seeing into the future. There's also a second type of prophecy, which is forthtelling. Forthtelling. And that's actually when we create the future. This is biblical, so don't leave. It's all right. There's another service coming. Foretelling is actually when we create the future or we cause the future. We see this in the Bible with Ezekiel when he's walking through and God actually tells him to prophesy to the Valley of Dry Bones. Who remembers this story? We actually see that he's not just foretelling. He's not just saying a prophecy about what's going to happen. The Lord actually says, speak to the dry bones. He's actually speaking. In other words, the point is that if he doesn't speak and declare what God is saying, there'll still be a pile of bones. So there's two types of prophecy. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm not going to read through the passage, but it'll be good for you to read in your own time. But here we pick up a story about a king by the name of Jeroboam. He was king of Israel in 907 BC. And there was an unnamed prophet that actually comes to this king Jeroboam and starts giving him a prophetic word about the future. Jeroboam had actually come, he was king, and he had actually started to move Israel away from worshiping God. He had started raising up altars for people to worship false gods. And this unnamed prophet comes in 907 BC and gives this prophetic word to Jeroboam and says that the Lord is going to actually raise up a man. His name is going to be Josiah. He's going to be king, and he's going to rip down the altars and actually lead Israel back to God. And there's a crazy story about what happens in that. But the point is, in 637 BC, 300 and something years later, there's a man. His name is Josiah, and he's just been made king at 8 years old. 300 years, this prophecy was there before its fulfillment. The crazy thing about Josiah at 8 years old, being the youngest king, was that he didn't have a great heritage. Actually, his father and his grandfather had gone down as two of the most wicked kings in all of Israel's history. They were not only ignoring God, they were literally walking in the opposite direction to God. They were raising up false gods, they were worshipping other idols, they were worshipping Baal, they were doing all this stuff that was actually in total opposition to God. So here you have Josiah at the age of 8 and he's become king. When he was 22, he actually ordered for the temple of God to be remodeled. Scholars tell us that it's probably about 50 or 50 plus years since a Bible had ever been read or any worship had actually happened to God in the temple. Half a decade of a people group that were the chosen people of God had gone for 50 years when a Bible was not found, not read, there was no worship to God, they were worshiping false gods, and this is where Josiah finds himself in this kingship. So at the age of 22, he orders that the temple, the doors be opened up. They start remodeling it. They start cleaning it up. He employs the priest to come back and start working in the temple. Crazy thing happens. As they're remodeling, as they're knocking out a wall, this is exactly not in scripture, but you get the point. As they're remodeling that, this bit is, they actually find a Bible. They find a Bible that they've never seen, well, they for 50 years has not been there. They actually find a Bible, and the guy brings it, and he takes it to the king, Josiah, and he says, look what we found. We found the Bible. And Josiah starts to read the Bible for the first time, potentially. And once again, scholars are a little bit split on exactly what happens here, but I believe he started to read, and he started to read in 1 Kings chapter 13. And here he's seeing the scriptures for the first time, and he's reading all about these things about God and all about this chosen people. And all of a sudden, he gets to 1 Kings chapter 13, and guess what he reads? He reads a prophetic word that was said 300 years ago. And all of a sudden, in 1 Kings chapter 13, the prophet is saying, there will be a man. His name will be Josiah. He will raise up. He will destroy the altars of Baal, and he will return the nation of Israel to the Lord. This is what he reads. You can imagine all of a sudden something awakens inside of him. He sees the prophetic word. He reads this stuff and he says, this is what I was born for. He says, I'm not here by chance. I'm not here by accident. I'm here by divine purpose. See, this is what the prophetic does. It actually speaks into the divine purpose over people's life. And here he is as a young king, and he starts to read this. He starts to read his name. He says, my name's in the book. I'm here by divine purpose. I now know why I'm alive. From that point on, the Bible tells us that he went and he destroyed all the altars of Baal. He tore down the altars, and he led Israel into the second greatest awakening in the history of Israel. It all started 300 years ago with a prophetic word. A prophetic word that was spoken over a man who read it and said, this is what I was born for. Now I know why I'm alive. I want to encourage you this morning, Hope Point, that maybe there's been this element of the prophetic word that's been pushed in a closet. Maybe it's been hidden in a wall. Maybe it's been wherever it's been. And all of a sudden, the Lord wants to encourage us this morning that this is such a vital place in the kingdom of God. This is such a vital tool. This is such a gift of the Spirit, as Paul talks about. I believe the Lord is looking for people, for believers, that will sense the word of the Lord over people and start to declare it. I believe that the atmosphere is pregnant, if you will, with prophetic words that haven't been fulfilled over people's lives. It's waiting for someone to declare the word of the Lord to see it become a reality. In Psalms 115, verse 16, it says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has been given to the sons of men. In other words, the Lord has actually designed it in such a way that we've come into partnership with him, that he actually has entrusted us to see his purposes come about in this age. Of course, when we talk about the prophetic, hey, I've got stories too. I think about things that, were they right, were they not? There's mess involved. There's only one place where there's perfect order, and that's a graveyard. All the tombstones are lined up perfect. The grass is cut perfectly, but there's no life there. It's just death. The Lord is looking for people that will actually declare the word of the Lord over people's lives. I believe that Caboolture is full of people that are walking around in darkness that need somebody to stop them and say, this is the word of the Lord over your life. I love when that happens. Some people have spent a lifetime of believing a lie. And what happens is that it's one moment of truth straight initiating from heaven that unlocks something in people's lives that changes them forever. It happened for me. When I was young, I had an encounter with God and I shared that, and all of a sudden I was mocked in the schoolyard for it. So it resonated. It caused a fear of man to grow up inside of me. And all of a sudden, all my life growing up, I was living under this lie. I was living under this fear of man until someone with a prophetic word declared it over and broke that thing, set me free from the fear of man. In our church, in our community, is just waiting. It's like the air is pregnant with prophetic words over people that are waiting for people to rise up and say, I'm not waiting for God to tell them. He's actually entrusted us to tell them the word of the Lord in their lives. Does this make sense? At the moment, I don't know if it's so much in the church, but this belief or this notion that we can hear from God is actually mocked. It's actually mockery to say that God speaks to me. It's actually mockery to say that we actually hear from God. And obviously the whole foundation of the prophetic is about hearing from God and delivering the message that he gives. The very reason why a prophetic word over someone bears fruit is because it initiated from God. We're not here coming up with good things to tell people. We're actually finding out, like Jesus said, what was the thing the Lord is saying in this situation? We're actually letting it initiate in heaven that we hear the voice of God and we declare it over situations in people's lives. But it's mockery. It's mockery in society to stand up and say, I believe the Lord has told me something, or I believe I heard from the Lord about this, or God spoke to me. It's actually mockery. Leaning into his presence as a lifestyle day after day is the way that we bring the word of the Lord into every circumstance. Oftentimes, I guess my struggle has been, well, that's great. I understand the importance of the prophetic, but I don't hear from God, so that makes it a bit difficult. Like I said, about a year and a half now, I was able to go on a missions trip to Guatemala, and it was with this same guy called Chuck, who runs the healing rooms. Anyway, we were about halfway into the missions trip. It was like a week long. It was hectic. It was long. Everybody was tired. We had been on a bus for like 4 hours. We're out in the remote place of Guatemala. We'd been praying for people for half a week. We arrive at this group of churches that had gathered together. There was about 400 people. And we arrived at a group of churches, and it was a conservative group of churches. They weren't used to the prophetic. They weren't used to supernatural things of God. And we arrived there, and as we were getting off the bus, Chuck said to a few other people, all right, you're going to preach. You're going to lead worship. You're going to give some words of knowledge, and you guys can pray for the sick. And when he came to me, he said, and Ben, you can just relax for the night. And I was like, yes. Anyway, so meanwhile, all day, actually, I forgot to tell you this, but all day, or for about 4 hours in the bus ride, I was sitting next to him and talking about this struggle to hear from God. And he was sharing some stuff with me. It was amazing. And so as we're getting off the bus, he said, and Ben, you can just relax tonight. And I'm thinking, yes, this is so good. And so they take us in, and we're sitting in the front row. There's like 400 people here. And so I'm just parked right on the end of the seat. Rach had sent me some videos from the kids. Like I'm missing Rach and the kids. And so I'm there watching a few movies, videos of the kids. The worship's going on. I'm just enjoying myself. I'm sort of half asleep, just resting in the front row. Anyway, Chuck grabs a microphone and he gets up and he starts to give them a little bit of teaching about the prophetic. And he talks for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then he goes, oh, and Ben's going to come up and give prophetic words to everybody. And I'm just like, are you serious? And all day he had just been telling me about how that you hear God's voice out of this place of rest. Anyway, so he goes, and Ben's going to come up and give prophetic words for everybody. Gives me the microphone. And so This is like one of those moments. There's 400 people there. They'd never experienced a prophetic before. There's like 800 eyes are just beaming in. And I'm just there like... Anyway, so I had no thought in my mind. I didn't have time to prepare. I didn't have time to try and think up something that the Lord was saying. And there was only one picture that kept coming to my mind, and that was a surfboard. And I said to the Lord, God, you got to give me something. You know, these people are going to be disappointed if I say a surfboard. And this all I've got a picture of is a surfboard. And so I stand there, I'm asking the Lord for something, that's all I got. So I said through the translator, I just believe that does a surfboard mean anything to anybody here? Now in Guatemala, where we were, was such a rural place. They weren't even near the beach. They were way in. I didn't even think about that. I just said, does a surfboard mean anything to anyone? And there's 800 eyes dead quiet. They're just sitting there with arms crossed. And I look down at Chuck like it's your fault. And he goes, you got this. It's a word of the Lord. So I'm like, all right, this is good. So I said to the interpreter, look, just describe what it looks like to ride a wave or something. And so he's there going, oh, it's surfing's like this and trying to... Anyway, so there's three ladies that finally put their hands up. Actually, and then they just walked straight out and stood there. And I'm thinking, well, I never asked you to come out, but they're standing here ready for something. And I still had nothing. All I had was surfboard. I'm thinking, well, what's next? So I just laid my hand on the first one. The power of God hit her. She went off like a jackhammer, hit the wall and fell over on the ground. The second one, I just laid my hand on her, got like 2-3 words into a prayer, and she just fell straight back on concrete. These are people that have never experienced the power of God. These are people that aren't familiar with supernatural things. The third lady, she was there crying. And I prayed for her, and the tears are just rolling down her face. She stood there. She never fell over. Then I had a prophetic word for her, and it was all about this. She was going to start a work for the poor. And later I found out she was just not sure whether she should do it. She had asked the Lord to confirm it, and there was exactly a word for this. The point is that there was nothing to do with me. I was on my phone looking at movies. Hearing the voice of God doesn't come out of striving, it comes out of surrender. Let me say that again. Hearing the voice of God does not come out of striving, it comes out of surrender. It doesn't mean that I'm not intentional about what I do. It doesn't mean that I don't go fast and pray. It doesn't mean that I don't have spiritual disciplines. But what it does mean is that my posture is surrender to Him. Sometimes we can so hard try and hear the voice of God and we get all sweaty and we get all uptight and He's just like, yep, you just do that until you run out of steam. Until we collapse in exhaustion, then He speaks. I'm going to finish up now. Why don't we pray? Why don't you just stand up if you can? This morning, I want to pray for you that it's crazy. The Apostle Paul talks about this whole this gift of prophecy, and he says, basically, if you want it, just ask. We don't work up enough merit with God to be given this gift of prophecy. And so, Lord, right now, I just ask that You would impart to us the spirit of prophecy. Lord, I pray that it would be something more than just a couple of minutes where we might perceive it in a corporate setting, but Lord, it would be a way of life. Lord, that as we meet with You, as we do life with You, Lord, that we would actually start to think the way You think, would actually start to see what You see, would actually start to feel Your heartbeat for our community, that as we go out in our community, Lord, I even pray right now that You would deposit, that You would impart to people right now, that there would actually be this burning passion to start speaking out destiny over people's lives. For people that have been living in lies and darkness for all these years, that there would be something, someone that would come and speak the word of the Lord over their life that would awake them out of this place. And this morning, I destroy the lie that says that you can't hear from God. I destroy that lie. And Lord, I just pray that as we come in that place of rest, as we come in that place of presence, Lord, that you would speak to us so clearly. And that it would be all for your name. Lord, that you'd get the glory. Amen.